Peace of Christ be with you. Friends, welcome to the final chapel of the semester. You made it. Congratulations. So happy you are here. We also have some visitors that are here that are checking out Hope, and we want to welcome you. Many, if not all of you, have heard the news that yesterday, at the age of 95, Nelson Mandela went to be with the Lord. No one can fully articulate what Nelson Mandela meant to South Africa, nor to the world, but it is safe to say that he was a light in a dark place, and he brought hope where there was hopelessness. He was a symbol of perseverance, and he showed the world how to take suffering and to turn it into wisdom. And so this morning, as we begin, I just want to invite us just to have a moment of silence out of respect and to thank God for this man. Would you join with me for a moment? For your servant, Mandela. God, we thank you. And we praise that his witness, that reverberates your witness, a witness of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation, would be pursued by all, that his mantle would be taken up by a new generation. Lord, thank you for this man, and may he now rest in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And everyone said, Amen. Our scripture this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning in verse 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And guided by the Spirit, Simeon went to the temple. And when the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him, this child, into his arms and praised God, saying, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all your peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. I love this time of year. It's finals next week. You have no idea what that means to the dean of the chapel. It's my favorite week on campus. I'm pretty much released from most major responsibilities where all of you guys are stressed out, amped up on caffeine, walking around this campus like creatures, just only wearing your sweats that you went to bed in the night before. I love finals. Everyone's got the eye of the tiger. You're ready to go. You're finally doing what you were supposed to be doing all semester long. You're studying. And then there's the professors who are amped up on caffeine, walking around in their sweats as they're busy grading and judging you in your work. I love finals. I get to be the morale coach. You can make it. You can do it. While I sit in my office with my feet up, praying. It's my favorite week. I love this time of year. Not just because it's finals, but I love this time of year because as we head into Advent, the chapel gets all dressed up. And I love the trimming of the trees and the ribbons and the poinsettias. It has a spirit of festivity in it. It's beautiful. It's the season when we sing. The chapel is all dressed up because Hope College is about ready to enter into one of its greatest traditions, Vespers, and our music department fills this sanctuary that we love with beautiful sounds and words and rhythms and cadences as we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus. I love this time of year because it's a time to sing. And when you've got a voice like mine that's a terrible voice, it's so nice to hear beautiful voices singing out loud. This week in chapel, we have been listening to some songs. We heard the song of Mary on Monday, and we heard the song of Zechariah on Wednesday. And this morning, we heard the song of Simeon. The song of Simeon that erupts from him as he holds the child. Simeon was an old man, righteous and devout. And he had been promised a gift. The gift that he would see the Lord's Messiah before his death. His deepest desire in his heart was to see the consolation of Israel, the comfort of Israel, the freedom of Israel. He was an old man, and he wanted nothing more than his people to be set free from the tyranny of oppression. Simeon was a man where the Holy Spirit rested upon him. And one day he felt a nudge by the Holy Spirit. The same spirit that had revealed to him that he wouldn't die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. He had a nudge. He was walking down the sidewalk and he just felt, go in here, Simeon. Go into the temple right now. Don't delay. Follow that instinct. Have you ever had a nudge like that? It's an ordinary day, and you're just walking down the sidewalk, and you sense God saying, turn in here. And you do. And you happen to have a conversation, an encounter, that seems so ordinary. But looking back on your life, changed the trajectory of that life. Someday I'll tell you the story when I met my wife, Kristen. It was that kind of nudge that I followed into a church in Scotland and saw my future bride. She didn't know it at the time. It happens. The Holy Spirit nudges us in the ordinary time and places, and we have these ordinary encounters. But sometimes, in the work of the Holy Spirit, the ordinary becomes extraordinary. Simeon's nudged into the temple, and when he goes into the temple, he sees a young couple holding a baby. The Spirit nudges him and says, go there, see this child. He goes up to this couple, Mary and Joseph, who are holding this child so small, wrapped so tightly. And Simeon sees the child and asks the parents, can I hold him? Mary looks at Joseph, and Joseph must have looked at Mary. He's an old man, shuffling across the floor just to get to them. He's righteous and he's devout. And he has been promised that he will see the consolation, the comfort of Israel. He's promised that he will see the source of Israel's freedom from oppression. And they hand him over to the man, Simeon. And Simeon holds the child. And the Spirit confirms. The Spirit that is holy, the Spirit that was from the very beginning, the Spirit that emanates from this child. For he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. His eyes are so new, yet Simeon recognizes they are also ancient. He's so light, but in his arms he can also feel the gravity of grace. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him there will be a day when God reconciles all things on earth and in heaven through making peace by the blood of the cross, his blood. Simeon holds this child. And as he holds this child, he can't help but sing. Sing the song, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in freedom according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, for the glory of your people Israel." What Simeon sees is nothing but the hope of the world. What Simeon sees is nothing less than the author of the world, its creator, its sustainer, wrapped in a small flesh. This little one is the desire of the nations. And he will grow into a man who is righteous and devout, and his life will set us all free. Simeon holds this child and sees the salvation of the Lord among us. God with us, God for us, Emmanuel. And he can't help but rejoice. And he rejoices because Simeon recognizes that this hope isn't just for Israel, it's for all. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, a glory to his people Israel. In other words, this little one is going to bring salvation for the world, for you, for me, at all times and in all places. This child, so small, is going to give the world its largest gift. And isn't that what we need? What Simeon had, saw. What Simeon saw was nothing less than God's presence among us. And God's presence is what we need. It's God's great gift. The gift that we need isn't more stuff. The gift that we need isn't another ethic. What to do, what not to do. It's not just having a virtue. What we need isn't just an analogy to make sense of our being. What we need is God in the flesh with us and for us and among us. It is that presence that brings our salvation. God is a God of relationship. God makes it personal. God takes the time to put on flesh and walk among us, to be for us by being one of us. And this is what makes Christianity utterly unique. And it's what makes Christianity truly a faith of hope. That God is not an abstract principle. God comes among us even in the tiny, blessings, even as tiny as a little baby. That's the uniqueness of the Christian faith. This God makes it personal by being with us. God's great gift is his presence. Now, what does this mean for you? It's the end of the semester. Finals are looming ahead. You're about ready to take off for home. For some of you, you're excited, and for some of you, that creates a little bit of anxiety, I know. Home isn't always easy to go to. But I want you to remember this. Your God is with you. And your God is for you. And if God is with you, who can stand against you? Through the mystery of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that nudged Simeon into that temple is the same Spirit that is with you. And it is that same Spirit that is sent from Jesus, which means that wherever you go, north or south or east or west, God goes with you. And if God is with you, no matter where you go, you get to bring God's presence with you. In other words, each of you bears the great gift that the world needs, God's presence. Your presence is a gift wherever you go, back to your home and your parents and your siblings if you have them, to friends, to relatives, to the stranger on the street. God is with you. And if God is with you, you bring God with you to others. And maybe, just maybe, through you, they might see, like Simeon, something of Jesus, the salvation of the world, a light to the nations.